more sharp is E, right?
Thank you.
rest of our time. How much is that? Very short, very short. Not coming through. Well, should I speak up? All right. Okay. I deal a lot in my business with colors, and I enjoy them very much. You understand and you know that in the rainbow is every single color that there is. You get the whole spectrum in the rainbow. Should we turn, please, to Genesis chapter 9? Next time we look at a rainbow, we can be thinking about these things. Noah had just been through an awful flood. This earth had seen this wickedness grow, and violence and corruption had gotten to such a point where God had to judge this world. In that case, he did it with a flood. And then, after the flood, we have a very beautiful thing here. Verse 12 of Genesis chapter 9. How about starting with verse 8? And God spake unto Noah and to his sons with him, saying, Genesis 9, verse 9, and I, behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your seed after you, and with every living creature that is with you, of the fowl, the cattle, every beast of the earth with you, from all that go out of the ark to every beast of the earth, and I will establish my covenant with you, neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood. Neither shall there any more be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth, and it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud, and I will remember my covenant which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh, and the water shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh, and the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature, and so on. That beautiful rainbow that we see on occasion, we see them, I'd like you to think of it this way. First of all, how is it that God could ever come in and give a promise? We sing just a couple of hymns back there, Standing on the Promises. Beautiful song. I remember as a little child having that song sung to me by my parents. Another song they sang was Trust and Obey. Well, this promise here, think of it this way. How did we get the promises that God has given to us? It all goes, in this case, it looked forward to the cross. And now we look back to the cross. The cross is the center of everything. The cross of Christ. And when light comes down, you see some clouds in the distance, and you see, there it is, a rainbow starts up, and it starts up over the stars. Beautiful. What does it take to get a rainbow? Oh, you have to have pure white sunlight. You have to have a dark, dark cloud. And you have to have water. Now that light comes and hits those water droplets, and that diffuses out and it breaks that white light up into the full spectrum. And it puts a bow, beautiful bow out there. I want you to think of it this way when you see a rainbow. What is the white light? Well, in this case, it was the white light of God's judgment. Purity. What was the dark, dark cloud? Oh, that was Calvary. That was where the Lord Jesus went and suffered. Under a righteous and holy God, against sin. And what is the result? The Lord Jesus could take that purity, as it were,
and could diffuse it out into the whole spectrum. Think of the grace of God. Think of the goodness of God to man. If we were to take the typical teaching of those colors, which I'm not able to do very well, we'd find all the beauties of Christ. All the beauties of Christ. And oh, when God looks upon Calvary, then he can see his Son and what he did there for us at the cross. It's a beautiful thing. I'm going to ask you a question. Do you belong to him? Have you bowed the knee to him? Then we come to a story. I won't turn to it, but just have a moment. Joseph, his father, gave him a coat of many colors. Why? Because he loved him. Now, those brothers in Israel, those brothers took that coat, and what did they do? They tore it up, and they stuffed it back in their father's face, as it were, and they said, if this is your son's coat, see if it is or not. That's what this world has done to our blessed Savior. And all of his beauty, he came down here in such a wonderful display of grace and love, faithfulness to God the Father, blessing in his heart to mankind, everlasting life offered. What did they do? He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Joseph's coat of many colors. And then what happened? At the end of the story, towards the end of the story, we find out that these brothers came and they bowed their knee, didn't they? They bowed their knee. And they could see Joseph then in all of his glory and splendor there. There will come a time when the unbelievers of this world, to their own shame, they'll see the Lord Jesus in all of his splendor and all of his glory. You and I, most of us, I believe, here tonight have bowed the knee. We've seen beauty in him at this time. Then you get over to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 3 is an interesting verse there. And I think it can be translated this way. The last part of the 8th verse, the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the dispensation of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God who created all things by Jesus Christ. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be made known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. By the church might be made known, the church, who's that? That's the believers in this room here tonight, some part of the church. These angels, these principalities, these powers are looking down and they're seeing something. They're seeing the manifold, that's the all various colored wisdom of God. They're looking down and they're seeing a display of Christ in you as a believer, in you as a believer. They're seeing the manifold wisdom of God. Oh, and I suppose let's let this be an admonition to our hearts. Do you mean to say, the scripture does say that these principalities and these powers in heavenly places are looking down and they're seeing in you the manifold wisdom of God. The all various wisdom of God, the graces that we've been speaking about in the meeting this morning especially. Now I have a question. Have you bowed the knee? Every knee, it says in the Old Testament, and it also says it in the book of Acts, every knee shall bow. If there's 500 people at this conference, 250 knees. Sooner or later, going to bow. If there are 10 million people, there's going to be, unless they've been cut off for some reason or another, there's going to be 20 million people bowed knees bowed. There's a man who came into the business. He needed to be saved, he said. So he went into his room and he got down on his knee, one knee. And he knew that he needed to confess Christ as his Savior then and now. And if he didn't, that's it. He had that feeling before God that it was the last chance. He was a very proud pilot. He got one knee on the ground, but the other one wouldn't go down. And he figured that if he didn't get that other knee down, he wouldn't be saved. He'd go out of his room a lost soul still. He thought about it. He said, this is my chance. He was so proud he wouldn't put that other knee on the ground. Wouldn't put it out. He took his hands and he took that recalcitrant knee and he jammed it down to the floor. He got saved. That's what he did. Question, have you bowed the knee? Do it now or you'll do it later. Guaranteed, 100%, you will bow the knee. It says in the Old Testament, New Testament, every knee should bow. Should bow. Isn't he worthy? He's wonderful. The Old Testament says every knee shall bow. New Testament says every knee can bow. Doesn't say those words quite. Every knee shall have bowed. Lord Jesus is going to be exalted. He's going to be extolled and he's going to be very high, and even the kings of this earth are going to bow to him. You say, what about these great men? I'll tell you about some of them. Down the road from my house lives a man by the name of William Gates, richest man on earth. Usually is, depends on the stock market. And does he have a testimony to going into his life and heart? I know the man that opens his mail for him and takes care of his children for him. I said to him, Scott, does Mr. Gates have a little gospel message? Oh, he says, letters are sent to him, pleading with him to come to the Lord Jesus. Poems, verses. Oh, yes, he gets a testimony. That's right. In 1930, mid-30s, I think it was, there was a man, his name was Brother Winterhoff. He was riding the train in Germany, and he was seeking to give the gospel to this man that was in the same section there with him. And this man got angry, had an angry, strange look in his eye. And he didn't know who he was. And so he kept talking to him, and he got no response. He rejected him. He wondered who it was. Next day he saw on the paper, Adolf Hitler. Yes. There was a man came into the business, Brother Bob Brimlow. He was dealing with this young man about the Lord. And in the corner was standing another man listening. And Bob was talking to him about the Lord. And then these two men left, and the young man called back 15 minutes later. He said, Bob, I want to tell you, he said, that is the Lama of the Sakya province of Tibet. That's my father. And I was in line to be that governor of that section of Tibet. And my father is not saved. He says, I'm saved. He says, I was afraid to confess to my father. He is one of these Buddhists, I believe. Well, he got the gospel. The gospel, God has not left himself without witness. We've had the witness, a beautiful gospel meeting tonight. Beautiful. I can take you, I won't tell you where it is, but I can take you to a place where, you know, different assemblies have little, sometimes they have a little sheet of the people that are in fellowship, so they telephone numbers and so on. I can take you to a place, and I can open up a sheet, and I can show you someone that's at the Lord's table. And the last thing I heard about that person was, they didn't know if there was a God or not. And if there was a God, didn't have any reference to him. So we want to be careful. Our knees bow now, or they bow later. That's a plain fact. Why don't you let them bow? Bring them down. Bring them down tonight. Bring them down in his presence. He's worthy. He is totally and completely worthy.